Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To substantiate what I'm saying, we surveyed 30 counties. We also called the state of Florida. And I will tell you that your policy as written is in line with the state of Florida and throughout the state of Florida. It is a good policy as written for drop payouts. And I believe that if Escambia County changes their policy, you are going to be an extreme outlier. This is going to cost you millions. And I don't think that's the fiscal impact that you're trying to have.
So, Clerk of the Court and Comptroller for Escambia County, Pam Childers, they're speaking during the Board of County Commissioners meeting last Thursday. I played some of that for you yesterday, maybe the day before, I forget when, anyway, and talked about how, first of all, I do not understand all the details, so I don't want to presume to be an expert. Number two, it sounds pretty bad. Based on what she said. And so three, let's understand what's going on. So joining us now, we have Pam Childers, the clerk of the court and the comptroller for Escambia County. Pam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Okay, so millions of dollars, a dramatic change in retirement, a proposed dramatic change in retirement for Escambia County employees, and it would make us an outlier. Help me understand. It sounds bad. How bad is it? What are you concerned about? What's going on here?
Probably this is what I'm concerned about. And I do talk fast, but when I'm at a meeting, I try to slow it down. So let me find a tempo that you can hear and understand. FRS pension members only have this option. It's a deferred option that it's a legislative opportunity, right? So during your 5 years, your last 5 years working with an FRS employer, you get to put your pension calculation monies into an account held by FRS that's paid out when you separate with your employer. So understand that part first. It's only for particular members. The problem started in 2014, and it started because the county had a big problem. They were taking over the jail from the sheriff, and they were trying to figure out lots of things, lots of costs, employees, certifications of employees, and needed employees to stay with them and maybe not go back to the sheriff's office or Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. They needed them as correctional officers. Many of them had large leave balances. How are they going to handle that? Let's say the sheriff has a different plan or something. That's what they were trying to solve in 2014.
Okay.
The HR director at that time, his name is Tom Turner, if you need to know it. He got there about 2012. He left about 2017, I'm guessing, early. So they did step one, and that is, let's move forward and change the BCC, the Board of County Commissioners, policy as it pertains to drop. So here's the policy language, just to help you understand language. Sell all of your PTO at entry up to the allowable limits. Sell all of your PTO at separation up to the allowable limits. This is while you're in drop. Or, this is what's added, use accrued leave to provide terminal leave to be approved. Allowable limits in that policy at the header states, this has to be set in your HR policy. It's a HR policies and procedures manual that also has to go to the Board of County Commissioners for approval. So what happened at that time is they did step one. They changed the board's comprehensive policy that says you can do these three things, adding or terminal leave. And I'd have to explain terminal leave to you. And that is, if you have leave on the books, you are considered an employee, but you're not coming to work.
That's where you stop working the last month of your employment and just get paid for it. That's terminal leave.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So that HR director did a lot of research about how are we going to handle this problem. So there is no doubt there is lots of documents where he wrote policies, he changed the HR manual, he wrote notes, he gave backgrounds, he did research, he did calculations. But step two, actually changing the HR policy and going to the board for approval to set the allowable limits or to change the allowable limits did not happen. And it did not happen because they were solving the jail employee issues differently. And the county administrator at the time, Jack Brown, did not, would not take it to the board for change.
Okay.
It was a decision not to change the allowable limits. And with that, it didn't mean they had to go back and change the main policy, because all it says is you can do this up to the allowable limits. But the limits are set, and they were never changed.
Pardon me for asking the third grade question, okay? Have we been paying out more than we should have because the policy wasn't actually put into the HR manual, or would this proposal make it so we're paying out more? I'm not sure which way the thing cuts. That's what I'm kind of confused on.
Okay. So at that point in 2014, because war terminal leave was added, in 2014 forward for several years, it was a case-by-case basis of approval, because terminal leave has to jump through hoops of approval.
Okay.
So this was not widespread knowledge that you could get paid 500 hours at the beginning of drop and 500 hours at the end. So it was very sparse, always sparse, until about 2021. And you know, I think all hell broke loose in 2020. We had block voting in 2020 to 2021, 22, 23. There were a lot of things that happened in our county government and to our county as a whole and to America with the pandemic.
Sure. Well, and we so also, and that was also the time frame when we were dealing with the ICMA stuff and the county commissioners and their retirement package, and which, I'll be honest, this sounds very familiar because, you know, Robert Bender discovers that he's has this thing that he did not realize. Then the other board members discover that he was getting it and they want it too. And that's where all of that, and it sounds very similar to that. You know, it's kind of occasionally implemented, very lucrative, and then everybody got wind of it and everybody tries to take advantage of it. Pam, excellent. I feel like I'm about 70% tracking it all, even though you're doing your best to go slow for me. I appreciate it. So, and now what? Where are we now?
Okay. So we left 2014 for several years where this is sparse. In fact, I think there were comments of we're not really sharing this with everyone because they were only approving it for so many people for reasons. So it was contained. But in 2021, they got a new HR director. I can't remember the experience this person had, but it started saying, well, wait a minute, we are interpreting this board policy to mean this. And then we started seeing a lot more being paid.
Okay.
And so it was being pushed out through an interpretation of the HR director. This was not escalated to my finance director until 2023 when she contacted the county attorney because they're like, wait a minute, wait. There are limits. And you can't do this for everyone. And what is going on, you cannot interpret. The plain language of the policy says X that I read to you.
Okay.
The county attorney wrote, not a memo, but an email that stated, this is what you can do. And so at that point, my staff, a staff of four that pays $160 million payroll every year with lots of issues daily with payroll.
Sure.
Somebody always has a problem with something. So drop is just one more little bucket. At that point in time, decisions were made, okay, if that's what we're doing, then we will just automatically pay everybody on both sides. There weren't a lot. There were 8 people, I think it was, okay, at that point in time that you're paying out in drop. We have 109 people in drop now. So what happened currently in November is when I started a payroll review for a variety of reasons. We just go around and do reviews for their high-risk areas. My payroll department is, let's look at FRS pay codes. Let's look at drop, because that is not clear. So my finance director, she was the one that would oversee the research, the report, and I issued a report in November, November 7th, I think I sent it to the board. I did not hear... I'm going to correct you. I sent it to the chair. So the chair at the time was Mike Kohler.
Okay.
I did not hear back from anyone. No discussion, not from the county administrator, not from the chair. No discussion other than, thank you, we're looking at it. I think that was Mike Kohler. And the next thing that happens on December 11th, they've got a whole new policy, rescinding parts and making it very clear we pay at the front end and we pay at the back end. And the reason I said do not pass this, it's because they don't understand it, in my opinion. I don't think the board fully understands what's going on. So what has happened is we have interpretations by county HR that, oh, it was the intent in 2014. It was the intent in 2014. They were solving a big problem.
Got it.
When they got to step 2, they did not do it. They left in place the limits as stated, which is why I told them, you have a good policy. Don't do this.
Right.
And I think one of the commissioners, Stephen Berry, said, it's exigent. We have to do this. We have to do this now. We have to pay people out. And I'm like, no, you don't. You have a policy. Follow your policy. So this is interpretation by county leadership that forced the board to do a policy that they should have never done. They are outliers throughout the entire state of Florida. And quite frankly, I think county leadership failed the elected. I don't think they should have done this. It's very expensive.
What? Well, no, how much money are we talking about? Because it seems to me like there's two issues. There's the money that has already been paid out under the policy that it should not really have been paid out, but the friends and family secret policy they were taking advantage of for a while, then it became more widespread and everybody kind of jumped on, and I assume some of that has also been paid out. But it's going forward. Like, what volume of money are we talking about here? Is this $1 million? Is this $50 million? What are we dealing with?
Dealing with it depends on how many people are in drop. So, and typically, right now you've got a lot of higher ups in drop.
Right.
So well paid, right? Set it and forget it time. And so they build leave quickly and then they get another bucket of leave and another bucket of leave. So maybe take it like this. A higher up or somebody in administration, whether you're talking about the county administrator, county attorney, they probably will make in their drop period $200,000.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yep.
That's a per person. That's a higher up.
Yeah.
That's not saying everybody's going to get it. So it just happens exponentially, and there's 109 people in drop.
So the difference of this policy, one way or the other, is on the order of $10 to $20 million if you do the math.
It's a long period of time. Drop went from 5
okay.
years to 8 years.
Oh.
And
wow.
I really haven't calculated the number.
I gotcha.
I was trying to deal with policy language.
Yeah.
I'm just using a very simple example for you to understand that a government employee under this policy at the administrative level is going to leave with $200,000 in their drop period. Breaking that down, I would say the $500 equates for $50,000.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad I don't work in HR, because I still say I don't completely but I understand what went wrong, why we shouldn't have done what we'd done, and why it's going to be very expensive for us going forward. So thank you. I know you did your best to explain. It just, you know, it's complicated stuff, so I really appreciate that. And Pam, I told you I'd let you go because I know you got to run to catch a flight. But Pam Childers is the Escambia County Clerk and the Comptroller. She's the one that's tasked with being the watchdog on all this stuff. And, you know, sometimes she finds things. And this does feel very much like the ICMA stuff, except now we're talking about 100 employees instead of two or three, which is, you know, oh my goodness. Well, Pam, thank you for explaining this. I had a whole other thing I wanted to talk with you about. We obviously ran out of time entirely, but thank you for paying attention. Thank you for explaining it to us. And feel free to keep in touch and tell me anything else I need to know as we go forward, okay?
Sure. Other link, property fraud. Go to Escambia Clerk website, type in property fraud, first link, submit your forms if you own property in Escambia County for property fraud alert. That was our other topic.
Right, and it would let you know if somebody tries to illegitimately use or access your property, and they have to do some kind of a tag onto the records with Escambia County. This would be a way of notifying them, hey, somebody's fishing around with your stuff, so that you can take action to prevent it or act on it or whatever, right? That's the real short version of that.
That's the gist of it. We put it in place in 2023. It actually happened to me before this time. Somebody filed a $1 million loan against me. So had this been in place, I would have been notified by an email that something's been filed and attached to my name, and I could have researched it, called an attorney, whatever needed to happen.
Gotten ahead of it. Wow. Okay, so property fraud alert. That's the thing on the property, the county clerk's website. And that's what I just figured people didn't know about this because I didn't know about it, and I wanted to. I know we got to let you go, but how common is it, do you know, for people to have fraud in this of this sort?
It was made mandatory in July of 2024 by the legislature.
Okay.
It's counties like Lee County. There's a couple of counties that get hit with property fraud constantly. We don't feel it up here, but we will get documents filed against someone like myself. And it does happen,
okay,
but not like it does in counties in central and lower Florida.
Okay. It doesn't hurt to sign up. It doesn't harm you anything or cost you anything. So even though it might be relatively rare up here, probably worth the defensive prevention. Pam Childers, the clerk of court and the comptroller for Escambia County, thank you, as always, for the time. And Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you again soon.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye, Andrew.
527 News Radio 92.3.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2x Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
529 News Radio 92.3. Let's head on over to David Wayne in the newsroom with the headline. David.
Well, good morning there, John.
Good morning.
Congressman Thomas Massie and Republican Congressman Thomas Massie and Democrat Ro Khanna considering contempt charges against Attorney General Pam Bondi. Now, this is over the partial release of the Epstein files on Friday. The two have been critical of the files released by the Justice Department. In a post on X, Massie said that Friday's release, quote, grossly fails to comply with the spirit and the letter of the law that President Trump signed last month. The U.S. Coast Guard said to be in pursuit now of another vessel off the coast of Venezuela. That's according to several reports on Sunday. The latest activity comes after Pentagon officials confirmed military forces interdicted a tanker carrying sanctioned oil in the Caribbean on Saturday as well. And lawyers for Google and Apple are warning their workers to stay in America if they'll need a visa stamp to get back into the country. U.S. Business Insider has viewed the warnings that were drafted by law firms working for those two tech companies.
Thank you, David. Fox News is up next right here on News Radio 92.3.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Coast Guard spent the weekend trying to intercept an oil tanker linked to Venezuela that had been under U.S. sanctions since last year for transporting Iranian oil.
U.S. official just sent Fox a statement involved in the operation saying, quote, the United States Coast Guard is in active pursuit of a sanctioned dark fleet vessel that is part of Venezuela's illegal sanctions evasion. It is flying a false flag under a judicial seizure order.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. The new year is around the corner, and it's going to see skyrocketing health care prices for those on Obamacare.
Congress wrapped up its legislative year without extending Affordable Care Act subsidies that kept premium prices low. President Trump opposes an extension, saying federal funding should not benefit insurance companies.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's a very comfortable morning out there right now, 65 degrees with cloudy skies, a little bit of a couple of showers reported here across the area. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves officially filed to run for re-election next year. Mayor Reeves says the city is experiencing unprecedented growth and investment, with more public and private investment happening now than at any other time in history. In a statement, he highlighted recent projects, including the American Magic, Hollis T. Williams Greenway, and airport terminal expansion, and says his focus remains on safety, housing, and jobs. Reeves was first elected mayor back in 2022. Now, two other candidates have also pre-filed to run for mayor in 2026, former city council member Ann Hill and Jasmine Brown, who is reportedly heading a socialism movement in Pensacola. A 40-year-old Pensacola man facing a homicide charge. This is after a shooting last weekend in Escambia County. Alex Hines was arrested on Friday and charged with negligent manslaughter and a weapons offense. He's being held on no bond. Deputies did respond last Saturday to reports of an armed disturbance on Brees Lane. That's where they found a man with a gunshot wound to the face. The victim later died from complications at the hospital. The sheriff's office says that investigators linked Hines to a Bronco that was captured on video surveillance near the shooting scene. The vehicle was seen 37 seconds before the 911 call was made. Two people were seriously injured in a crash on Friday in Escambia County. A woman lost control of her vehicle near Zane Gray Lane, hitting a utility pole and a privacy fence. A young girl and a woman sustained serious injuries. Firefighters conducted an extended extrication using the jaws of life and hydraulic rams to free the woman from the vehicle. The crew removed the doors and the roof and pushed back the dash to get her out. FHP is investigating that crash. Also, FHP investigating a fatal crash on State Road 173 in Escambia County. That happened on Sunday evening. Troopers say a vehicle traveling northbound crossed a center line and hit two southbound vehicles. A passenger in one of the southbound vehicles was pronounced dead. The driver of the northbound vehicle was identified as Alexander King, who was arrested and charged with DUI manslaughter. AAA is offering its Tow-to-Go program to keep impaired drivers off the roads for the holiday season. Now, this is a free, confidential service and provides a ride and a tow for impaired drivers and their vehicles to get them to a safe location. That program is available to both AAA members and non-members. Tow-to-Go runs starting on 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening, and it will cover 11 states, including Florida, to use the service. You just call AAA. Of course, they are calling this the option of last resort and urging drivers to plan ahead and make responsible choices. It is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got cloudy skies, 64 degrees across the area, seeing just a couple of showers reported. Our next news is at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Roche's CEO says deals between pharmaceutical companies in Washington to reduce prices for medicines in the United States will likely push up the cost of new drugs in Switzerland. Under the deals, drug makers, including Roche's U.S. unit GeneTech, will slash prices on drugs sold to the U.S. Medicaid program for low-income people. Italy's competition authority said it has fined U.S. technology giant Apple and two of its divisions more than $115 million over alleged abuse of their dominant position in the mobile app market. The watchdog opened the probe into the technology giant in May of 2023, claiming the company penalized third-party app developers by imposing a more restrictive privacy policy on them from April of 2021. New data says that artificial intelligence was responsible for almost 55,000 layoffs in the U.S. in 2025. Challenger Gray & Christmas reports that overall job cuts topped 1 million in 2025, the highest level since 2020. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for 48 on 2025 Forester models, and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation per new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Penair Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, Penair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Hi, this is Tom Beaudet from Manger 6. We know you've been traveling a lot this holiday season, and you've probably been told there's no room at the inn. Well, that's just not the case here at Manger 6.
This is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a super Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Morgan, Promotion Assistant for CAG Country, wishing you a Happy Holidays and a Merry Christmas.
This is Tom Beaudet from Manger 6 reminding you there's always room at this inn. We'll even leave a star out for you.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue.
Good morning. This is Alex Andrade filling in for Andrew McKay this week leading up to Christmas. John, happy Festivus Eve.
Well, happy Festivus Eve to you too, my friend.
I don't know how many grievances you have or how long the discussion's going to be tomorrow, but I hope you have your list ready.
Oh, I know you have your list ready. It's going to be a while. Somebody just bring lunch and dinner, then you'll be there.
I was talking with John before we went on the air this morning about the last time I hosted for Andrew McKay was in January earlier this year.
at the beginning of the year. And it was the same day, the first special session that Governor DeSantis called in this term was breaking news. And I didn't have all the information at the time. And normally when the governor calls special sessions, he's already kind of briefed, you know, the Senate president and the speaker. And this was the first time that he hadn't. And if you've followed Tallahassee or state politics, you know that that was the beginning of a shift in the relationship between the governor and the legislature that has now, you know, passed for a full year now. We had the longest legislative session in history. We had some hectic time during legislative session. A couple kerfuffles came up.
I like that word.
Kerfuffle. Yeah, some minor disagreements. And we, you know, we're going into the last year of, you know, my time in office, because the legislature's 8 years term limited, and the last year of Governor DeSantis in office as governor, because, you know, governor's term limited as well. And hopefully, you know, knock on wood, this final legislative session where Governor DeSantis the governor and, you know, me and my colleagues who were elected in 2018 are in the House, goes a little bit more smoothly than last time. I'm just like hoping right now that we actually get out on time from our session that starts in January. But this is Christmas week, and I did come prepared with some Bible trivia, some Christmas trivia. I think we're going to have a fun time. It is tough getting speakers, getting people to call in on Christmas. The two people that normally call in on Mondays are, you know, Congressman Jimmy Patronis, who's out west with his family, and Sheriff Bob Johnson, who is also, you know, trying to enjoy, I think, some time with his family, right now. So it's going to be mostly me. I got a friend coming in around 6:30. But if you have questions or you have input, questions about the legislature, questions about anything going on here in Pensacola, Northwest Florida, please feel free to call in or text. The number is 850-437-1620. I'd love to talk. I think I've developed a reputation as being a pretty open book, right? No question is offensive to me, and I love talking about, you know, the reality of what, you know, someone in public office, you know, deals with or has to do, or exactly how things work in Tallahassee. Oftentimes people think that, you know, what happens in the Florida legislature is similar to Congress. I could not emphasize enough that that's just could not be further from the truth. Starting with the fact that I have a day job.
Real part-time
activity in Tallahassee, or at least it's supposed to be when you don't have the longest legislative sessions in Florida history. But John, the first question I had, and I don't mean to be like putting you on the spot.
Well, you are, but that's okay.
Were there animals mentioned as being present at Jesus' birth?
Oh, goodness. It's 5:43 and you're asking me questions. I'm going to say no.
That is correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding.
You got the first question right. There's no mention of any animals.
Oh, nice. You won't get that very often, but.
In fact, doing this research, I learned some things. You know, a couple things about, you know, the actual, you know, what is in the Bible and what is just simply tradition. It's interesting to, like, actually think through things. I think most folks who, you know, are, you know, Bible believing Christians, folks who, you know, attend church regularly, folks who, you know, spend time in the Word, they know things like, you know, did the wise men actually show up while Jesus was, you know, in the stable? And they know that that's not necessarily the case. You know, the wise men came at some point after meeting with Herod, but before Jesus fled to Egypt with Mary and Joseph, but not necessarily the night of his birth with the shepherds, right?
Hmm.
But there's just like so many different, like how many wise men were actually there? I'd never really thought about it. I never really researched it. But apparently there weren't necessarily three wise men there. We always just assumed there were because of the three gifts. Mm-hmm. But there's no mention of the precise number of wise men that actually visited Jesus and Mary and Joseph. So yeah, I got, you know, some really snarky, fun Bible trivia to make everybody kind of feel bad about their,
yeah,
about their history.
Thanks,
Alex. And then also, you know, maybe we'll have some discussions about people's favorite Christmas traditions. And again, if you want to weigh in on your favorite Christmas traditions, please don't hesitate to text or call in at 850-437-1620. Otherwise, you're just going to hear me rattle off inane Christmas trivia, you know, for the next several hours. Like, is Christmas Adam a holiday?
Is Christmas what?
Christmas Adam.
Christmas Adam?
Yeah. What date is Christmas Adam?
Well, I don't know.
It shares a holiday with Festivus, December 23rd.
Oh. And see, I'm learning something new every day.
Why do you call it Christmas Adam?
Right.
Because Adam came before Eve.
Oh.
So I want to, if it's not officially recognized by any regulatory body that could recognize Christmas Adam, I think that we should probably start it here on the radio today.
Yeah, and then you file a bill, and then we can start it with the state of Florida, and then we can just move on through the country. How about that?
We should recognize Christmas Adam as a federally recognized holiday, so we get 2 days before Christmas off.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know, I don't have Christmas Eve off. I don't think you have Christmas Eve off.
No, I don't. Not at all. Radio still goes.
Well, some people are lucky enough to have Christmas off, or Christmas Eve off. I like to think most folks have Christmas off, but going back to one of my more interesting questions that I think everybody kind of assumes, did the Bible ever mention Mary riding a donkey to Bethlehem?
No.
That was a leading question. I asked it in a way that you'd get
okay,
it right.
Thank you, attorney.
But
see, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, the Bible doesn't specify how Mary traveled. I was talking with my wife, Jessica, who she gave birth to our second daughter in June of this year.
Yeah. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
The trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 90 miles. Imagine being 8 months pregnant, having to walk 90 miles. That must have been a very difficult trip.
Right. Did you ask your wife how difficult that would be?
She just said it wouldn't happen.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I understand that.
Yeah. She'd not be walking 90 miles, camping in a tent, you know, for between, I think it probably would have been between like, you know, 6 to 10 days. You know, if you're averaging imagine just like walking in sandals for 10 miles a day and then camping every night. No mention of a donkey. No idea how they got there. But we know, obviously, why they were going to Bethlehem, you know, because Caesar wanted his taxes. So so they did a census, which was relatively common in Roman times, and they had to go travel back to Bethlehem to get counted to figure out how much they would have owed in taxes.
It's kind of like property taxes.
Oh,
that's a hot button issue.
That is a hot button issue. And speaking of taxes, I'm glad we played the Pam Childers segment at the beginning of this hour, because I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the rub is. From what I can understand, I think it's got something to do with like the paying out of leave time once somebody enters drop. But I'm still not 100% sure how dramatic of an effect it's going to be on a county budget that's now like $850 million. So the county budget's $850-some-odd million, which is, I will say, like, probably due to inflation, nothing necessarily wrong with it. That's significantly higher than it was when I entered office in 2018. But going in after this break, we'll be able to talk more in depth about this. So is now a good time for a break, John?
Yep.
Perfect.
549 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Open enrollment is here, and this year you can enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle-free this year by calling 850-477-5840. Again, that's 850-477-5840, and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BVA Florida Blue.
So 56 years ago, 1969, Panama City, Florida, a guy named Robert Peden was hot. It was the summer in Florida, and he was hot, and he wanted to be not hot. So he learned how to do air conditioning, and he thought, well, if I can do this for me, maybe I can do this for other people. So he started a company, Peden Air Conditioning, eventually heating and air conditioning, then eventually plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, and then eventually electrical, plumbing, heating, air conditioning. And they take care of all of that stuff these days, and they expanded all the way east to Tallahassee, into the eastern time zone, all the way west in the last couple of years, across the state line into Alabama. So everywhere along the Gulf Coast, they take care of you with professional installation, good people, 100% satisfaction guarantee on the work. And right now, if you want a smarter, safer home with Peden's $89 smart home consultation, their licensed professionals design a custom plan that connects your comfort, security, and energy savings into a simple system. You can start living smarter with Peden. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
This is Chris Bryan, host of Pensacola Right Now, wishing you a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Ho, ho, ho.
So, what a topical song to play as we may delve more and more into biblical Christmas trivia this morning. But going back to this potential issue in the Escambia County Board of County Commission discussion of, I guess, how to pay out leave time, I'm not it's. Seems like it potentially could be a problem, but like DROP itself can be a problem. For those who don't understand, DROP is deferred retirement for folks already qualifying for their pension as government employees, either the state, county, you know. I don't know if DROP is available for federal employees or not, but essentially what it means is you qualified for your retirement, you qualified to start drawing down your pension, but you're not ready necessarily to leave work. And so I think a lot of times the benefit for HR departments and government entities is, you know, if someone who's been in that position for, say, 20 years, knows everything about it, doesn't want to retire, well, you don't necessarily want to lose that capacity that person has. You know, you don't want to necessarily have to incur the cost of, like, training someone new. So, like the idea is you can start collecting your pension benefits when you qualify, I think generally 60, 65, depending on where you work. And it gets paid into an account that you don't necessarily get access to until you actually leave employment, but it starts getting paid into an account because otherwise that person would probably leave if they just lost their pension payment that they would have otherwise had they left employment. You know, that's a cost that we've already committed to. So all we're doing is paying an employee for that work that they're still doing, right? So like, let's say an employee is making $100,000 as an employee, and they'd start qualifying for their pension. Let's say, you know, they get paid out, $2,000 a month if they left employment. Well, if that person actually left employment, we'd still owe that $24,000 a year to that person on their pension, and we'd have to pay someone different you know, approximately $100,000 to do the same work. So the idea is, you know, you keep that talent there, and you recognize that you already have a commitment made on that drop. And keep in mind, if you had a new employee, they'd start accruing some type of, you know, recognized retirement benefit too. So I'm not 100% sure on the math, based on what I can understand from the concern about where that cost would be. And if someone understands this better, again, please feel free to call in 850-437-6020. But my understanding is this is less to do with drop and more to do with like the accrued leave time or accrued vacation time. Whether or not we pay someone who'd already entered drop their leave time, again, that's if someone new who didn't qualify for their retirement was employed, well, they'd be accruing leave time too. So I'm not 100% sure if we should care or if it's actually going to be a cost to the county, just because whoever's in that employment position is going to be accruing leave time and could get potentially paid out anyway. And are we just keeping good talent, trained talent, folks who understand the job already and don't need to be, you know, trained up on it, if we're actually just keeping them? So that's what I'm really confused about, is just what exactly is the you know, the gist here about the concern. We did get one person texted in, just thinking about the free service to alert property owners of potential property fraud. There was, on the tail end of that discussion with Pam Childers, a discussion about property fraud. I'm going to have Walker Wilson in here around 6:30. His dad actually had property in a different state that, you know, someone forged a deed on and then started marketing it for sale.
Wow.
So the property fraud thing is real.
It's real.
Figuring out how to, you know, address it as a problem. There's, you know, a couple different ways, but if you're a private individual and you own several parcels of land in different states, I can imagine it being kind of a nightmare. Just thinking about what that could look like if you own your own house, how often do you check the public property, the clerk's office to see if someone's just filed an errant deed on your land? Like, how often do you know? Generally, if you have a mortgage on your house, the bank would get notified because there's generally like some type of a payoff if the land is transferred. But if you own land outright somewhere, say it's like vacant land that you haven't decided what to do with yet, someone could very easily just file a fake deed with a little bit of information they can probably glean online and, you know, take your property. So that is a nightmare scenario. It's kind of like someone stealing your identity, but on a more bizarre, creepier scale. But it is something to look out for. So I'd encourage folks to go on to the clerk of court's website to see about how to protect yourself from property fraud. As far as this employment thing, though, still not sure what exactly.
We need more
is
clarity.
That.
Yeah.
Because someone getting paid, you know, something that you don't think they deserve is not the same thing as, you know, the county wasting money. And I generally, try not to speak out of turn before I fully understand something. And this is just one situation where I don't fully understand if it's a problem or not. I mean, if you have like a county attorney who knows the ins and outs of the entire county, well, they get paid pretty well. The county attorneys are generally one of the highest paid employees in the county. If you want to keep that county attorney on for another 8 years, and that person's willing to forego, you know, retirement, they've already, you know, earned their pension, you know, so pay that into account. They don't get to access it until they actually leave employment, and then, you know, let them act like a normal employee still. So the question really is, like, if you replace that employee with someone else, if they'd actually entered employment, exited employment with the county, what would the county still have to pay? It's unclear to me that it's actually a problem. And it might be. I think, you know, Pam Childers sometimes listens to the show. I don't know if she listens to it this early. I'd be curious to know exactly what the concern is with like this employment program. And I know county commissioners love to listen to the show too. So if there's a county commissioner that wants to weigh in, they're welcome to. Otherwise, when we come back, there's so much more riveting Christmas trivia that we will be discussing some point this evening.
I like the big words.
Riveting's a big word. Well, yes, Andrew doesn't use big words. You're right. So,
well, then I just look at him sometimes.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.